on this October the 24th in the year of our Lord, 2015. I'm Pastor Tom Baker. You're listening to Law and Gospel. And when I said, here we go again, boy, what do you do with these apparent contradictions in the Bible? The reading for this coming Sunday from Mark chapter 7 seems to contradict Leviticus chapter 11. Let me say what Leviticus chapter 11 says. The Lord told Moses and Aaron to say to the community of Israel, you may eat any animal that has divided hooves and choose the cud, but you must not eat animals such as camels, rock badgers, and rabbits that chew the cud but don't have divided hooves. And you must not eat pigs. They have divided hooves but don't chew the cud. All of these animals are unclean, and you are forbidden even to touch their dead bodies. In fact, this kind of goes in line with Deuteronomy chapter 4, the Old Testament reading for this coming 14th Sunday after Pentecost, where it says, you shall not add to the word that I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you. So God commands that there are certain foods that are unclean in Leviticus 11. May I quote Jesus in Mark 7. Are you without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him, since it enters not his heart but his stomach and is expelled? Then he declared all foods clean. Wow. God declares in Leviticus 11, certain foods as leading to uncleanness. Jesus declares all foods clean. What is going on here? How can we reconcile these apparent contradictions? Let's just take pigs or rabbits. Plenty of Christians eat pigs and rabbits. I mean, one of my favorite meals is pulled pork. Now, does that mean, therefore, that we're going against the Word of God? See, this is why Scripture interprets Scripture. Well, what do I mean by that? I mean, you need to look at the context of the entire Bible to see just what God is trying to get across to us. What we're dealing with here is really a distinction between that old covenant that's found in the Old Testament books, and the new covenant that Jesus brings into being. What am I talking about? Well, under the old covenant, if you look at Exodus 24, people said, all these things we will do and obey. God was creating ceremonial laws. You know, there's three kinds of laws, moral, civil, and ceremonial. And he was creating them for the purpose, the ceremonial, of showing you that you were a sinner in need of a Savior. So there were all kinds of things you had to exclude from your life that Adam and Eve had no trouble eating. But no, under the ceremonial laws, God wanted to make clear to you that you were not holy, and therefore you cannot eat anything. So he set up some unclean foods. Why he did it the way he did, I don't know. Why he chose which animals. I mean, what's wrong with eating pigs and rabbits? But, you know, Orthodox Jews today still stay away from the unclean foods. Then where did Jesus get the authority to say that all these foods were no longer unclean? I mean, that's what Mark 7, verse 19 says. Why does he say that? Well, remember, they are unclean for those who still need to be regarded by God as holy. And that's what Jesus did. That's the new covenant. When Jesus came, the things that make you unholy, which is sin, and there's two kinds of sin. Sins of commission, Jesus took care of by having them forgiven. Sins of omission, that means the good works that you're unable to be doing because of your sinful nature, He took care of you by dressing you in the robe of righteousness. So from God's point of view, you are a sinless, holy person if you trust the gospel promises as found in the Bible. Paul writes to the various churches, the saints at, and then he starts listing all the things they're doing wrong. Why? Because a Christian is 100% saint and 100% sinner. From the point of view of the law, boy, you do nothing but sin. From the point of view of the gospel, you never sin. The new man never sins. He goes to church for the right reason. He helps the poor for the right reason. He gives offerings for the right reason. But the old man never helps the poor, goes to church, or gives offerings for the right reason. The old Adam always has an ulterior motive because that is our nature. It's sinful. Apart from the righteousness of Christ, apart from the forgiveness of sins, you are unclean. And Jesus is making that point because remember he said that he's bringing in the new kingdom. What is this new kingdom? Well, he explains it in Mark 7, verse 14 and 15. He called the people to him again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him. But the things that come out of a person are what defile him." What's he talking about? Well, he explains it further in verses 20 and following. What comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, now, what part is he talking about? He's not talking about what comes out of the stomach. Verse 21 is very clear. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. And guess what? You can't do anything about it. As an unbeliever, you are in bondage to your old Adam, because your heart is a wicked heart. So what does God do to take care of the problem? Well, remember David? Psalm 51, "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me." What God does in the conversion process is a heart transplant. He takes your wicked heart and replaces it with the pure heart, the pure faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now, what's kind of interesting, you really have two hearts. Because you still have that old wicked heart, that's the old Adam. And it still always has ulterior motives in whatever apparently good work you're trying to do. That will disappear when this mortal puts on immortality on Judgment Day. Then you will have only a pure heart, only pure thoughts, and you will never again sin in heaven. What has food got to do with all this? Well, remember, as I said, the ceremonial laws were set up by God to help remind you what a sinner you are in need of a Savior. Today, we don't need the ceremonial laws for two reasons. Number one, you are a holy saint if you are a Christian, and therefore all foods are clean. Number two, guess what? Why don't you need ceremonial unclean food to remind you you're a sinner? You already have a reminder. It's called the cross of Christ. Yes, the cross of Christ is the greatest good news we've ever heard, because from there comes the forgiveness of sins. But it also has another message. Look what it took God to do to take care of your sins. Wow. In fact, this is such an important statement that Jesus makes that is not only found in Mark, it's also found in Matthew 15, verse 11. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a person. Now, how can we understand that, though, properly? Well, we do know that in Acts 21, verses 27 and following, Paul, the Apostle Paul, gets arrested in the temple because there were some Jews from Asia saying, "This man who is teaching everyone everywhere against the people and the law and this place." In other words, what the Apostle Paul was showing was that since the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the ceremonial laws are abrogated. They're null and void. They're no longer in place. Why is that? Well, we really need to look what the Bible means when something is unclean or defiled. The Greek word for that is koinono, koinoo. And it really not only means to defile or to render unhallowed, but also to make common. I'll explain that in a moment. In fact, we ran into that recently when Jesus was talking to individuals and the Pharisees were saying, "Hey, what's with your disciples? They go to the marketplace, then they come back and they eat with unwashed hands." And Jesus referred to them as hypocrites. In fact, I did the Bible study about that at Trinity Orchard Farm yesterday. And I was saying, yeah, when I was growing up, my parents said, "You better wash your hands before you eat." And I looked at them and they said, "According to Jesus, you're a hypocrite." No, I don't think I'd ever say that to my parents. But I would have a Bible verse. That's because I didn't understand the culture of that day and what Judaism was talking about being unclean. When you go to the marketplace and you come back and don't wash your hands, you're not hygienically unclean. That's not what they were talking about. It's not that you have dirty hands. It's that you were ritually unclean. Why? Because you were among Gentiles at the marketplace. There may have been food there that was unclean. And here come the disciples back, and they're not washing their hands. Ritually unclean. Now, we've got to be really clear. That particular rule is not found anywhere in the Old Testament books. It was part of the new religion called Judaism, where, of course, your works really make a difference as to whether God likes you, loves you, and saves you. It was a religion of the law. It still is today. Just ask particularly Orthodox Jews who don't drive cars on Saturdays, all kinds of things that they are restricted in doing because of their view that their sin is no longer forgiven or has never been forgiven. I think one of the most wonderful examples is found in Acts chapter 10. Peter is up on a roof. And he has a vision three times. Unclean food comes down on a blanket, and God says, "Eat." And Peter says, "No, no, Lord, this is unclean. I will not eat." And then finally in Acts 10, verse 15, here's what God says. "What God has made clean, do not call common." Now, that's the normal translation. That word common is the word that Jesus is using, speaking about defiled. You know what is being said? Peter's learning a lesson here. Gentiles, women, and children were, and the sick, lepers, etc., were not allowed into the temple proper. In fact, in Numbers 4, it even indicates those who are outcasts, not because of their sin, but because of the condition of their body. And there were three classes that if you ever touched somebody like this, you were in trouble. One were lepers, another was dead people, and the third was those who had an issue of blood. Remember that woman who came to Jesus? She was outside the crowd because she was not regarded as appropriate. And therefore she was defiled. She did something that no other woman would even think of doing. Not only coming near Jesus, but touching his garment. Not asking to be healed, but to be saved. Because she was part of that group that felt that they were defiled, they were unclean, heaven was not for them. Jesus not only forgives her sins and saves her, he also heals her. But it's important to understand that's not her initial idea that she was thinking about when she went to Jesus. So the voice comes to Peter because he is going to be called on by a centurion who's a Greek. He's Roman. What God has made clean, do not call common. When did God make believers clean? At the cross of Christ. That's the new kingdom he's bringing in. And therefore, since you are holy, then there is no food that you can talk about that is common or that makes you defiled. That's what Jesus means. In Mark 7 and Matthew 15, it is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a person. Wow. So, there's no doubt that there were animals, if sacrificed, that could purify you to the point where you could go into worship God. This is found in Hebrews chapter 9. And it's referring back to Exodus 24, when the blood of goats and bulls and other animals were sacrificed to get that blood, and blood was thrown over the people and put over the altar. And remember how many people went up on Mount Sinai to worship God? It just wasn't Moses. It just wasn't Moses and Aaron. It wasn't just Moses, Aaron, and the two prophets. It was 74 people. 70 of the elders also went up. They saw God, probably his backside like Moses did on Mount Sinai, and they ate and they drank. That's the old covenant. Because the people had made a promise they would always obey the will of the Lord, which of course didn't last very long. You ever hear the golden calf? The new covenant is also inaugurated with blood. 1 Corinthians 11. This is the blood of the new covenant, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This is my body. When you are holy, you are like Adam and Eve in the garden. There was only one tree they could not eat of, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Anything else, it appears they could eat. Now, they weren't eating animals at that time because there was no death. So they were probably vegetarians. But what happens is that when the unclean food comes into place through the ceremonial laws, what God is saying is, guess what? This defiles a person because it makes you unclean, and we need to give you insight how unclean you are so you look for a savior. Everybody in the Old Testament was saved the same way Abraham was, namely believing that a Messiah would come. And that Messiah was none other than Jesus Christ. Now, when he came, he didn't restore Israel and the nation to its former grandeur, like under King Solomon with a beautiful temple. He restored you. He gave you a new heart, a new spirit. That's why nothing that enters you can defile you anymore. Now, I'm not saying that you can ingest anything and it's not sin. No. If the doctor tells you, for example, you should stop smoking, or look how many young people are dying. In fact, we just had a number of them die from heroin. It was a bad batch of heroin, and I think they said 11 people died in 8 hours. If you're taking drugs, that is a sin. when they're not recommended by a physician, if you're just trying to get a high. But what Jesus is saying, there is no particular food, even heroin, is permitted to be taken under certain circumstances, medicinally. But when you do it to replace God with your drug, yeah, that is something that defiles you. Because really, it's not coming because you're putting it into your mouth. It's coming because what Jesus is saying is that you are dealing with something that comes from your heart. That's what he says in Mark 7. Within, out of the heart of man, comes evil thoughts. And sensuality would cover drugs or things like that that attempt to give you a high so you can forget about your life as it is. This is really a powerful text, because what Jesus is doing is bringing in to the kingdom what God has been preparing since before the foundation of the world, the new kingdom. And that new kingdom is one where now what defiles a person is unbelief. You see, it's just not sin. But from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts. You know, a lot of people don't think that thoughts really are sinful because they can't control them. That's the point. The old Adam has all kinds of ways in which they bring sensuality to various people. Some people like going over the speed limit. Some people like drugs. Some people like homosexuality. Some people, you know, enjoy having an abortion. All these things are from an evil heart. It's not the act itself that makes a person unclean, defiles him. It is instead the unbelief behind that act. This is really wonderful. What God has done is he has made you clean. Therefore, you are not to be called common anymore or defiled. Can you believe that? I can prove to you that God does not consider Christians defiled. Yesterday at church, at both services, we had the Lord's Supper. You cannot take the Lord's Supper if God considers you defiled. But he does not. He doesn't consider you defiled for a very simple reason. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ has ascended. All for you. He is your servant. And as your servant, guess what? He continues to serve you. If you're in a Christian congregation with a valid Lord's Supper, Christ is serving you his body and his blood for one purpose, to assure you that your sins are still forgiven, that heaven is your home, and that he no longer considers you as defiled. That's what the readings for the 14th Sunday after Pentecost coming up on August the 30th are about. And that's why tomorrow, with the help of Pastor Mark Smith, we're going to be talking about a hymn that really touches on this importantly. It's, "By Grace I'm Saved, Grace Free and Boundless." Final note, if you do want that sermon where I talked about Jesus saying, "Unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no life in you," then go to the website, lawandgospel101.com, lawandgospel101.com, and click on the first item, which means you put your name and your email address, and you will be receiving a copy of that sermon at no cost. That's right. And that's also another way that you can get other freebies. We do this on a somewhat regular basis, as well as offer you really good deals on products that we sell through our website and our publishing company. And if you want to email me with any questions, then you go to lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com. That's Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. And the final note is, please listen to the end right after I stop speaking as to how you might be able to send contributions to Law and Gospel. Don't send them to KFUO or put down on the check KFUO. Write it out to Law and Gospel so that we may continue to pay for our time here on KFUO. I'm Tom Baker. Tomorrow, Mark Smith. And the hymn, By Grace, I'm Saved, Grace Free and Boundless. Until then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com.